Nanayam namaskrityam naram ceva narottamam devim sarvasim vyasam tato jayam udhirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Chapter entitled Maharaj Nimi meets the Nan Yogi, verse 650. Na karma karma bijanam.
Na karma karma bijanam.
Yasya chetasi sambhavaha.
Yasya chetasi sambhavaha.
Vasudevaika nilaya.
Vasudevaika nilaya.
Savai bhagavatottamaha.
Savai bhagavatottamaha.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Karma.
Karma.
Of lust.
Of lust.
Karma.
Karma.
Fruitive work.
Fruitive work.
Vijnanam.
Vijnanam.
Or of material hankerings.
Or of material hankerings.
Which are the seeds of fruitive activity.
Which are the seeds of fruitive activities.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Of whom.
Of whom.
Chetasi.
Chetasi.
In the mind.
In the mind.
Sambhavaha.
Sambhavaha.
Chance to arise.
Chance to arise.
Vasudeva eka nilayaha.
Vasudeva eka nilayaha.
One for whom the Supreme Lord Vasudeva.
One for whom the Supreme Lord Vasudeva.
Is the only shelter.
Is the only shelter.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Sorry. Bhagavata Uttamaha.
Bhagavata Uttamaha.
Is a first class devotee.
Is a first class devotee.
Translation performed by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. One who has taken exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva becomes free from fruitive activities which are based on material lust. In fact, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is freed from even the desire to enjoy material sense gratification. Plans for enjoying sex life, social prestige and money cannot develop within his mind. Thus he is considered in Bhagavat Toma a pure devotee of the Lord on the highest platform. Translation responsible. One who has taken exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord.
One who has taken exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord.
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva.
Becomes free from fruitive activities.
Becomes free from fruitive activities.
Which are based on material lust.
Which are based on material lust.
In fact.
In fact.
One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord.
One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Is freed from even the desire to enjoy material sense gratification.
Is free from the desire to enjoy material
sense gratification. Plans for enjoying sex life.
Plans for enjoying sex life.
Social prestige.
Social prestige.
And money.
And money.
Cannot develop within his mind.
Cannot develop within his mind.
Thus he is considered Bhagavatottama. A pure devotee of the Lord.
A pure devotee of the Lord.
On the highest platform.
On the highest platform.
Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, this verse describes the behavior of a devotee of the Lord. The activities of a pure devotee are devoid of material envy, false elation, delusion, and lust. According to the Vaishnava commentators, the word bijanam in this verse refers to vasana, or deeply rooted desires which gradually fructify in the form of activities for which the living entity becomes subject to reactions. Thus the compound word karma, karma, bijanam indicates the deep-rooted desire to lord it over the material world through the enjoyment of sexual pleasure and the expansions of sexual pleasure mentioned in the Bhagavatam 558 as griha chetra sutapta vitai. That is, a beautiful residential building and ample land for producing sumptuous food to fill the belly, as well as children, friends, social contacts, and a large bank balance. All of these material items are essential for completely forgetting that one is an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, as stated in the Bhagavatam, Janasya Mohu Yam Aham Mameti. Intoxicated by these objects of material illusion, the conditioned soul becomes madly convinced that he is the center of the universe and that everything in existence has been created only for his personal sense gratification. Whoever obstructs that illusory enjoyment becomes immediately his enemy and subject to be cured. Because of this bodily concept of life and the shackles of illusion, the whole world is being violently shaken by conflict arising from envy and lust. The only possible solution is to accept the leadership of the Lord's pure devotees, who are described here. A popular expression used to justify democratic government is power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Such homilies may be valid on a material platform, but it is specifically mentioned here that a pure devotee of the Lord, who has completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, cannot even consider taking part in material envy and sense gratification. His mind remains perpetually clear and sober, and he is always aware of the ultimate good for every living entity. The Krishna consciousness movement is strenuously endeavoring to inform the earth's suffering living entities of the serious need for a brain in human society. A brain racked by fever cannot give proper direction. And if the so-called thinkers of society are burning with selfish desires, they are no better than feverish, delirious brains. Delirious governments are gradually destroying all traces of happiness in human society. Therefore, it is the duty of Vaishnava preachers to act on the platform of Bhagavatottama, so that they can give clear guidance to humanity. Without being corrupted or even slightly attracted by material opulence, they may be offered to a saintly person. All intelligent human beings who are unable to take directly to the process of bhakti yoga should at least be sufficiently educated to recognize the first class devotee of the Lord and accept his guidance. In this way, human society can be very nicely organized so that not only all human beings, but even the animals, birds and trees can make advancement in life and gradually go back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur has emphasized that those seriously interested in achieving the perfection of Krishna consciousness must live in a community of Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada has also mentioned several times in his literature that it is not possible to achieve the stage of perfect Krishna consciousness unless one accepts the shelter of the pure devotees by living in the Krishna conscious communities being established all over the world by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur has emphasized that this does not mean that spiritual life is restricted only to those celibate students who can live within a temple compound. Devotees in the Grihastha order, that of spiritual family life, can also take shelter of the Vaishnava community by regularly attending temple functions. Those who are living in family life should daily see the deity of the Supreme Lord, chant his holy names in his personal presence, accept the remnants of food offered to the deity, and hear learned discourses on the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Any householder who regularly takes advantage of these spiritual facilities, and follows the regulative principles of spiritual life, namely, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication, is to be considered a bona fide member of the Vaishnava community. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, those who remain inimical to the devotional service of the Lord are to be considered lifeless puppets in the hands of the illusory energy of the Lord. Omigyan, Timarandasya, Gyananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshun, Nilitamena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave, Namaha, Sri Chaitanya, Manopishtam, Stapitamena, Bhutale, Swayamrupa, Kadamayam, Dadati, Swapatantika, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Vithitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Om Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Swami Gaurava Vandana
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To become Krishna conscious. Mm. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema. Nitya means eternal, Siddha means perfect. And Krishna Prema means love for Krishna. So the original position of the living entity is that he had love for Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Nichera Krishna Das. Which means, or Krishna Nitya Das, which means he is the Swarup, or the original position, Swarupa. Swa means one's own, and Rupa means beauty. Mm. Originally the soul is beautiful. Mm. These days, because we find ourselves in a material body, we are quite ugly. Mm. Especially as we get older and sick and you just stay in the material body for a long time, for a little time, and it gets quite unattractive. Mm. But originally, the soul's position is Swarupa, which means he has a beautiful form, very similar to the Lord's. This is called Swarupya Mukti, that the Lord has a form which is pure and spiritual and beautiful. And in the spiritual world, everyone has a form very similar to his. Very beautiful form. That is our original position. That is called one's Swarupa. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. We are eternally the servant of Krishna. And when we reinstate ourselves in that position, then we become beautiful. Then we become attractive. Just like Jagatarini Mataji, before she joined the Hare Krishna movement, she was a somewhat famous movie actress. She had done a movie with with Mick Jagger about Ned Kelly, who is an Australian legend. So she had become somewhat famous from this, and then she became a Hare Krishna devotee. So then the media in the newspapers, then they did an article on her. Did different articles, and one of the articles had a picture of her before she was a devotee and afterwards she became a devotee. So before she was a devotee, she looked like a movie actress posing, you know, very sensuous and like a movie actress trying to look very attractive from a material perspective, trying to invoke lust from the audience. So after she became a devotee, the photo of her, which was in the newspaper when she was a devotee, she had her sari over her head and she was washing a pot out the back of the temple in Sydney. And back in those days, the temple in Sydney was just a house in the suburbs. It wasn't like a big beautiful temple like this. Just this house. And so she's just out the back at some house, you know, in the suburbs of Sydney, washing a pot, you know, with the horrors, you know, with the concrete. You know, it's like just very simple. But she was smiling very blissfully because she had found her constitutional position, her original relationship with Krishna. So then they showed the picture to Prabhupada. You know, the two pictures. They showed Prabhupada the article, they showed Prabhupada the pictures. And Prabhupada looked. He said, here she looks so morose when she was a non-devotee. He said, she looks so morose. Now look, now she is happy. So that is the nature, that's when the soul becomes attractive. The soul becomes attractive when it's engaged in Krishna's service. When we're engaged in Krishna's service, then the beauty of the soul awakens. And the devotee becomes very attractive, very happy, because it's very blissful. Right? Always looking very happy and blissful. Even if he or she is in a very deep state of consciousness, they look very serene and blissful and attractive like that. So that is the nature of the soul, to be attractive, Swarup. So that is our original position. Our original position is to be Krishna's servant. But at this point in time, we've forgotten our lost relationship with Krishna. And because we've forgotten our lost relationship with Krishna, then our consciousness has been covered by anattas. Anattas means unwanted things within the consciousness. Anatta. We're explaining this last night, we're doing a mini course on Madhurya Kalambini. And we're explaining to the devotees that artha. Artha means, just like we have dharma, artha, karma, moksha, right? Artha means something valuable, right? Something which is valuable we call artha, right? And anatta means something which has no value, right? Something material, right? So our consciousness is full of anattas. And that's why we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna, because our consciousness has become absorbed in so many other things which have no value. There's no value to them. Just like if you found out you were going to die in 24 hours from now, what would be valuable to you? What would be valuable? What would you consider valuable?
The 24 hours which I remain.
The 24 hours which you remain. Yeah, that would be valuable. Yeah, but what you know, what would be valuable? What would be valuable to you? What is valuable? Right? You would find as a devotee that practically everything in the material world has just become valueless, hopefully. That would happen. Right? Just everything become, what's the point? What's the point of all these attachments? What's the point of all of these material desires that we have within our heart, in our consciousness? What is the point of all of the things that we become attached to other than Krishna? What is the point? There is no point. It is anatta. Anatta means it doesn't have a value. But our mind, our consciousness is so much absorbed in everything but Krishna, practically speaking. But the only real value in life is Krishna, is your original relationship with Krishna. That is the prema, pumarta, mahan. That is the great wealth. Pumarta means for all of humanity. It is prema. That is the great wealth for all of humanity. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Right? The original wealth of the soul is love for Krishna, Krishna prema. That is the actual valuable thing. That's the only thing which we are aspiring for. So in the material world, it says here, in this verse, it says that a materialist has plans for enjoying sex, social prestige, and money. How does it say? Plans for enjoying sex life, social prestige, and money cannot develop within his mind. So this is all that the materialists are absorbed in. First one is enjoying sex life. The whole world is just absorbed in enjoying sex. Sex means gross sex and subtle sex. It means enjoying maituni bhav. Maituni bhav means the energy which is exchanged between the sexes. Right? That energy, that feeling which is there. Right? It's like an imperceptible thing, not something you grasp, but that bhav or that maituni bhav or that energy which exists between the opposite sexes. That is what binds everyone in the material world. Everyone in this material world is bound by attraction to the opposite sex. Lord Kapila says in the third canto, at the end of the, I think it's the 31st chapter, 31st chapter, then he explains that this is the binding feature of the material world. All of us are just bound by attraction to the opposite sex. And because of attraction to the opposite sex, we come back lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Prahlad Maharaj says that you chew that which has already been chewed. You've already had it, but let's have it again. Although I've already experienced it all before, let me do it again. That's material life. Prabhupada gives the example of the sugar cane. So you go to India and they have sugar cane, and you have the sugar cane machine, juices the sugar cane. So they put all the sugar cane through, and then they bend it over and they put it through again, and churn it and put it through again and put it through again, get every last drop out of it, right, and then throw it on the ground, right, and then the cow comes and picks it up and he chews it. Oh, there's something in it. He chews it. And when he's finished and there's nothing left, then spits it back on the ground. And then the crows come. And the crows come and then they start chewing it. Oh, there's something left in it. Right? Trying to get something out of it. Right? That's material life. We've done it all before. Right? Nothing new. We've done it millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of times before. Nothing new. But still, we'll stay in the material world just to have one more time. We'll give away eternity just to have one more moment of sex. Life. That is the potency. That's how the material world binds everyone. Lord Kapila says this is the shackles. Hridaya Granthim creates a knot within the heart. Right? Attachment to sex, life, attraction to enjoying with the opposite sex creates a knot in the heart, which is very difficult to cut. So much pain. Now, when you lose a girlfriend or a boyfriend, think back before you were a devotee, you lost one of your girlfriends or one of your boyfriends, and that knot, there's so much pain in the heart. You know, crying for days and days and days and days, and why did she leave me? And, you know, writing the love letters and trying to get her back, and, you know, making a fool out of yourself, and, you know, all these things. Right? So this is how Maya binds in the material world. So, plans for enjoying sex life, and then social prestige. Social prestige means my position within society. Then we become devotees, and then we're in the society of devotees, international society for Krishna consciousness. But sometimes it's international society for my false prestige. Right? As long as I get recognized by ISKCON, you know, and if I make my way up the ISKCON ladder, right, up there, you know, just gradually, you know, head pot washer, you know, and then head pujari, right, and then temple president, and then regional secretary, and then GBC, and then guru, and then just making my way up, just, you know, as long as I get my prestige fulfilled. Okay. So that is one of the most powerful traps of mind within the material world, to keep us bound in this material world. We don't mind staying here as long as someone gratifies us. As long as we have at least one person in this material world who thinks we're great, right, and really truly understands the glories of our incarnation in this world, as long as there's at least one person, then we'll stay. Then we're happy. I'll stay here. Right? Because everyone else thinks I'm a loser. But one person really understands. I am the king, or I am the queen, right? And we'll stay in the material world just for that, again and again and again, right? Because I am the king, I am the queen. And then plans for enjoying sex life, social prestige, and money. Right? The world is mad after wealth. Just like if you look at the front page of the newspapers at the moment, everyone's losing their wealth, their money. Right, great stock crash. The same could be as big as 1929, the Great Depression, which came previously, the great stock crash of 1929 in America, when the stock markets crashed and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people committed suicide. And you see all the pictures at the moment on the newspapers on the front page. You know, all these guys, you know, with, you know, their shirt undone and their tie loosened and on the phone and holding their heads going, like, that's just totally, you know, just like, oh, losing everything. And my whole life is just decaying before my eyes. So the world is mad after wealth, like that. Practically, money has become, in this day and age, in Kali Yuga, it has become God. To the extent, it's described within the Shastra, that Kali Yuga resides in four activities. Kali is found in meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling. Right? So then, when Parikshit Maharaj spared Kali's life, because Parikshit Maharaj was about to cut off Kali's head, right, just grabs him, just ready to kill him right on the spot. And Kali said, "You have to give me shelter in your kingdom." Right? And Parikshit Maharaj says, "Then you can have shelter where there is meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling." He said, well, there's no meaning in intoxication, illicit sex and gambling in your kingdom. Okay, and he said, okay, then wherever wealth is hoarded, wherever people hoard gold, hoard money, hoard wealth, that's where I will enter. Okay. So this is material life. People become attached and they will stay in this material world just for money, just for prestige, and just for sex. That's basically what traps everyone in the material world. That's material society. Just like the temple that we had before we had this temple was in St Kilda in Burnett Street. Has anyone seen that temple? Down there in Burnett Street? Down there? So, back in those days, when Prabhupada came to that temple, about 73, when we had it before we got this temple, then out the back it was just like a little terrace house just down there in St Kilda. It's one of the like two-story terrace houses. You can go and see it. I can't remember what number it is, but it's down there. And in the backyard, there's a tree growing in the courtyard, and the tree was growing towards the window of the house, the kitchen at the back of the house. And when Prabhupada saw the tree, Prabhupada said, that's the previous owner. He used to live in this house. Prabhupada was trying to get back in to the house. You know, like, almost there. He's just people, and he stayed. Why? He's staying in the material world because he's attached. Right? You're attached to sex. You're attached to prestige. You're attached to money, wealth, accumulating something. You'll stay in the material world again and again and again. You can't get out. Anattas, all different types of anattas, unwanted, useless things. The house is useless. Just a pile of bricks. Useless. But he's so attached. He's probably still living there as a tree. You know, he's probably coming in the window and they keep cutting his branches off. You know, he probably just keeps coming in and every time he comes in they cut him off. You know, and he's willing to stay in the material world again and again and again because he's attached. Right? So this is what stops us from becoming Krishna conscious. So therefore, our original state of consciousness is Krishna praying, love for Krishna. So therefore, the whole point of ISKCON, of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is to reawaken that love for Krishna, to get rid of the material attachments. Prabhupada says in chapter 30 of the Krishna book, in the pastimes of Krishna and the Gopis, Prabhupada says you have to measure, just like you get the scales, right? And you measure, put on both sides. Put all your spiritual attachments and all your material attachments, and see which is heavier. Right? And Prabhupada says that as you advance, your material attachment should be becoming lighter and your spiritual attachment should be becoming heavier until there's nothing. Right? There's only love for Krishna. Right? All your material attachments are gone. So Prabhupada said this is the way of seeing, are we advancing in Krishna consciousness? What's stronger? Our pull towards Maya or our pull towards Krishna? What is stronger? This is the way to understand how we're advancing. And sometimes the scales tip. Right? Sometimes, you know, we feel like it's going back the other way. So the Prabhupada says you should become very introspective. You should analyze what's going on. Why is that happening? What am I neglecting that would be happening? Right? It means that obviously your chanting is slipping. It means that maybe you're committing offences. Maybe you're offending devotees. You know, it could be numerous things. But you have to analyze, what is it? As soon as you feel yourself slipping, what am I doing wrong? What am I? I've obviously slipped in my application of the process. Because it's guaranteed that if you apply yourself properly to the process, you'll get the result. The result is you'll go towards Krishna. Your attachment to Krishna will develop. So in the purport, in the third paragraph, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, those who are seriously interested in achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, hands up if you're seriously interested in achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness. Good. You have to be serious. Prabhupada says this. He says you must be serious. Right? If you're not serious about getting this, you don't get it. Right? There's only one price. Rupa Goswami says there's only one price for getting love for Krishna. What is that?
Lobha.
Or loyum. Lobha means greed. You have to want it. If you don't want it, you won't get it. It's there. Krishna will give it to you. But you have to desire it. Right? You make advancement. Prabhupada says that advancement in nectar of instruction in the beginning, he said advancement in Krishna consciousness comes down to the attitude of the practitioner. Words to that effect. Right? It's all up to your attitude, it's all up to your desire. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you can become Krishna conscious. Right? But if you don't want it, then you know, Krishna, he can give you so many other things. And if you want to be Krishna conscious, you have to have that desire. Right? So it says here, those who are seriously interested in achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness must live in a community of Vaishnavas. You have to live with devotees. That's the only way you can go back to Godhead. You can't go back to Godhead by yourself. You're not strong enough. You can go back to Godhead by yourself, but you have to be very strong. Yeah, and I know for myself, I'm not that strong as a devotee. Yeah, I wouldn't make it by myself. Yeah, if I didn't have all of you to help me, right, I wouldn't make it. Right, that's the attitude. Right. The day that my guru initiated me, I went up to the darshan room to see him the morning that he initiated me. He said, don't think it is just me who's going to take you back to Godhead. Right? He said, it will require the mercy of many, many devotees. Right? So we take shelter of the Vaishnavas. We take shelter of our Shiksha gurus. We take shelter of our Diksha guru. We take the shelter of our previous acharyas. We take shelter of our founder acharya. That's how we go back to Godhead. Right? So if you want to go back to Godhead, you must take shelter of the Vaishnava community. If you don't associate with devotees, you know, you won't make it. I know I won't make it. You know, I know if I go up by myself and that's it, I'm finished. You know, probably last a few days, a few weeks, and then you know, become a big struggle. So you need the association of devotees. But then there's a few problems with that. Because when you associate with devotees, right, what do the devotees do? Directly and indirectly, they point out your anarthas. Right? Either directly they tell you, if they're merciful, and if you're willing to accept their instruction, or indirectly, it will be indicated through their association what your material attachments are, what your defects are, right? Your faults are. Right. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says you must stay in the association of devotees. However, that's not always easy because it can become intense. And the more you become serious about going back to Godhead, the more intense the fire becomes. Right? Because the fire is burning. You have to burn up all the impurities. So, you become serious, and as you get close to the fire, Krishna turns the heat up. As soon as you become serious, then Krishna says, okay, you're serious? And you say, yep. He says, okay, now I'm going to bring up a list. There's a few things you have to work on. And you say, okay, no problem. And then he brings them out and you say, oh, I didn't realize it was that. And then he says, okay, you want to go forward or you want to go back now? You want to go back? Are you ready to deal with this or not? Right? If you're ready to deal with it, okay, let's turn the heat up. Let's burn this up. Right? Devotional service is intense. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say it's like eating methi puck. You know what methi puck is? Right? It's a bitter sweet. My Guru Maharaj used to get right into it. It's bitter sweet. And made with methi. Methi means? What's methi? Is it coriander?
Fenugreek,
yeah. That's fenugreek. Methi is fenugreek. So it's bitter. But it's a sweet. It's very far out. And he used to get right into it. He used to explain it and everything. It's so far out. It's a bit sweet. You know, because he had a realization of what spiritual life was like. He said one time, he said, do you think it was easy being with Prabhupada? You know, you think it was easy being with Prabhupada? You know, it wasn't easy being with Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was intense. You know, if you want an intense devotee to associate with, Prabhupada was the most intense devotee to be around. Right. So it wasn't always easy. It wasn't like it was all nectar. You know, it wasn't like, with Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada. One time Prabhupada was walking in the gate in Krishna Balaram Mandir, and there was one devotee who was standing there in the morning and he was reciting Sanskrit shlokas, glorifying Prabhupada as he'd walk in. Prabhupada, you are the captain of the ship. taking us back home, back to Godhead. And by the arrangement of providence, we have met your grace by divine arrangement. Chanting these slogans, the Prabhupada just walked past me in 2 or 3 days in Aurora. And he just was chanting slogans, and the Prabhupada just walked past, like they didn't even like pay really any attention. After about 3 days, Prabhupada was walking past, and Prabhupada stopped and he said, "Why don't you do something practical?" Prabhupada said, "There's dirt there, clean it." Right? And Prabhupada kept walking. That's Prabhupada. Prabhupada wasn't like, "Oh, Jai Prabhupada." You know, it wasn't all like, you know. Prabhupada was practical. He was intense. So if you want to go back to Godhead, then you have to accept the bittersweetness of Krishna consciousness. It's like drinking hot sugar cane juice. Right? You can't stop drinking it, but it's burning your throat. That's Krishna consciousness. Right? When you get serious as a devotee, right? It's so sweet you can't stop, but it's so intense, it's painful. Right? I can't stop now because it's just so nectar. You know, but it's just smashing my anathas apart. My false ego is just getting beaten. I remember in 1995 my Guru Maharaj came here for a week to Melbourne. And he picked up my subtle body and he took it out of my body and he beat it for about a week and then he put it back in and then he left. And when he left I was just like, "Thank God." Yeah. What movement did I join? Like, oh my God, yeah. That's what spiritual life is like. Right? You want the association of the advanced devotees. You know, you want the association of the advanced devotees, that's intense. The closer you get to the advanced devotees, the more intense it becomes. Right? Because they will begin to work on your material attachments. My spiritual master used to say it's not easy associating with the advanced devotees because it smashes your false ego. So that when you associate with the advanced devotees, expect that you're going to get purified. That's the situation. So as it says here, Bhakti Santa Sarasvati Thakur says, if you're serious about achieving Krishna consciousness, you have to live in a community of devotees. So we're very fortunate because we're in one of the most wonderful community of devotees on earth right now. Demigods are lining up to take birth in this movement. Understand our situation. Right? It says in the Shastra that the devas are lining up, like just looking for an opportunity to get in. Right? And somehow we got in. You know, by just mercy, by good fortune, we've got the association of the devotees. Right? So now we're here, we can make unlimited advancement. There's no limitation on what takes place here, no limitation whatsoever. We can go back to Godhead. Right? Prabhupada said about the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, he said, within the four walls of the Krishna Balaram Mandir is the entire spiritual world. He said, you don't have to step outside. Right? That's exactly the same. Prabhupada sat right there in 1974, looking directly at Radha Balava like he is now. He said, "This is not Melbourne, it is Vaikuntha." He said, "It is Vrindavan." Right? There's no limit to what goes on here. Right? We can go directly to the spiritual world. Radha and Krishna are directly manifest here. You know, some of the most powerful deities on earth right now. Right? The largest solid Gaur-Nitai outside of the Panchatattva in Mayapur are right here in Melbourne. Prabhupada installed those deities. Prabhupada installed Radha Balabha. Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra appear on the Rath Yatra card in front of Srila Prabhupada here in Melbourne. Prabhupada installed these deities. These are the deities of a pure devotee. Right? Just like we go to Vrindavan and Mayapur and we see the deities of Rupa Goswami, the deities of Jiva Goswami, the deities of Sanatana Goswami, all the Prabhupada's own deities here. Right? What an opportunity to serve them and to get it purified by their association. We're in the spiritual world, we just have to realise it. You know, if we can stay awake long enough, you know, we might actually realise one day we're in the spiritual world. So today is the most auspicious day because today is the Purnima, the first day of Kartik Mass. So what is special about Kartik? This particular month is governed by Srimati Radharani, which means everything that takes place in this month takes place under the auspices and the direction and with the blessings of Srimati Radharani. So as I was explaining to the devotees in the last few days, Giriraj Maharaj gave a nice example that Just like when the big department stores have sales, right? Everything, 10% off, everything, 90% off, right? Sale, right? And people go mad. And everyone just runs, right, to the pharmacy. Just take it, right? So that's what happens in Kartik, is that Srimati Radharani just says, okay, take Krishna. And she just starts giving Krishna out. Take him, right? I haven't got enough money, doesn't matter, take him, right? I'm not qualified, doesn't matter, take him. She just gives like that. So it says that every single item of bhakti that you do in Kartik Mass gets magnified thousands and thousands of times. Every single thing, every holy name that you chant, right? Every obeisance that you offer to the deities, right? Every word of Prabhupada's books that you read, every morsel of prasadam that you take, everything you do, it gets magnified thousands of times in Kartik. So therefore we have to take advantage of Kartik. We have to develop Kartik ratas. Ratas mean we'll do special services and extra bhakti and extra hearing and chanting for the next month, right, beginning from today. If you haven't already worked it out, then after class, just go before the deities, right, and tell them what you're going to commit to in your heart. Right? You just say to them, in this month I will do this for you. Right? So the minimum that we should do, every day we should offer a deep to the deities, every day. And we should sing Dhammada Ashtika every day for the pleasure of the deities. Prabhupada said that should be our minimum. But from there you can do anything extra you like. You can chant more rounds. Especially in Kartik, if you take vows, then especially work on the quality of your chanting. Take this month to improve the quality of your chanting. And then if you want, chant extra rounds. You know, chant at least one extra round, or chant 32 rounds, or chant 64 rounds. You know, do whatever you will do, but improve the quality of your chanting, improve the amount that you will chant. Right? Every day it is recommended that we circumambulate the deities three times. Go around the deities. Right? Go around them. Don't do it during japa period, loudly. Don't go around by chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare, you know, waking the whole neighborhood. You know, it's Kartik, everyone wake up. Be a little sensitive that we have people living next to us who may not appreciate our Kartik for us. So, but the point is, circumambulate the deities every day, right? Or take a vow that I will read the Krishna book, the whole Krishna book in the month of Kartik, like that. Do special things, or take vows that I will not eat sweets for the whole month, for Krishna's pleasure. Yeah. Do some austerity, right? Make some advancement, make some pledge towards Krishna that I will advance in this month. One very nice vrata that you could take, which Guruji Amaru told me about several years ago, he said, take the vrata that in the month of Kartik, I will not offend any Vaishnavas. I will not criticize any Vaishnavas. Take that vrata. And see how much benefit that does for your spiritual life. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswami Swamis of Vrindavan, if he ever heard a Vaishnava being criticized, even if it was true, he would leave that place. He would never hear Vaishnavas being criticized. If you want to do something very powerful for your spiritual life, just give up criticizing devotees for 1 month. Only glorify. And see how much that benefits your spiritual life. So, so many things you can do. But the point is, today is the first day. Right? So today it begins. So take it seriously and you'll get so much result. You'll feel so much benefit coming just from observing Kartik Mass very seriously. Such a powerful rata to take. So we'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
For this month, if we commit some offense or something like that, in that case, the effect of that is magnified? Or?
Yeah. If you do any offense, it will also you get more reactions. So you have to be very careful because it works both ways. Especially when you go to the Holy Dharma, when you go to Vrindavan and the Holy Dharma, then every piece of devotional service that you do in the Holy Dharma you get thousands of times more benefit, but if you do any offences, you get thousands of times more reaction as well. So it can be very okay. Any other question or comment?
Why this month is called Damodar month, and what actually happened that during this month people became so auspicious compared to other months? Why the Radha has become so much bigger in this month?
I'm not sure why Radharani has chosen this month, but she has, so we have to follow it like that. But it's called Damodar month, it's the month of Damodar. So on the Diwali, which is the Amavasya, which is halfway through the month, the 14th night of the month, when the moon, today is Purnima, the moon is bright, when the moon goes dark, that day is called Amavasya. That is Diwali. That's when we offer the... That's the day that the Damodar Leela happened. That's the day that Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with the binding. So it's the month of Damodar, because Dam or Da, Udara means the belly, and Damodar means that she bound his belly in this month, like that. So it's called Damodar month. Any other questions?
Is it the same reaction for even non-devotees as well? Whatever they do good in this month, it's magnified, and whatever the offenses do, is it the same? Or?
Definitely, if they do something good, it's magnified. Yeah. If they somehow or other do some unknown devotional services, month they'll get thousands of times more benefit. So if we're going to do Harinams or Distribute Prasadam or Distribute Books, I'll get thousands of times more benefit for engaging in those activities during that month. Just like in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, I was reading last year, one of the devotees became very inspired, so there's like a Shiva Vishnu temple, some sort of Hindu temple in KL, and everyone was going to the temple because, you know, it was holy month, so everyone was going to the temple every day. So what he did, he set up a table opposite the temple on the other side of the street, and he put a picture of Yashoda Damodar, of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna, and he had deeps, lamps, and everyone, he called everyone over who came into the temple, and they'd come over and they'd offer a lamp to Lord Damodar, like that. So they got so much benefit at that time. It actually says in the Kartikal Mahatmyan that if you offer the lamp in the month of Kartik, in the month of Damodar, then you will not take birth again in this material world. You know, we can't understand what the benefits. We don't understand even what we're doing in this month. But if we just do it, we'll get so much benefit. What to speak if we do it with love, with some sort of bhakti for Krishna, we'll get so much benefit. So, any other questions or comments? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.